Keep that right, aren't we? He is very welcome in this place all the time. Matter of fact, I don't even want to be here if he's not here. Do you? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Well, it's Wednesday night. We've got Bible school going on over at the pavilion. I'm sure that's been a good success so far this week. And we're here on the hill tonight to worship the Lord. How many of you come to have church? How many of you come to do everything you can make to make this a real good service? If we'll all do our part, we know He'll do His part. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God tonight. Tonight we've got some prayer requests we want to let you know about. First and foremost, we want to remember Brother Charlie Torres in prayer tonight. I think he had a blood transfusion today, and so we certainly want to pray for Brother Charlie that the Lord would just be mindful of our brother and make it possible for him to be back in the house of the Lord. We just ask God to be mindful of him. This was sent to the library. Brother Phil sends this in to pray for a lady by the name of Sandra Stanley, got back problems and suffering some financial difficulty. He just asking that we would pray. She's seeking the will of the Lord. Let's just pray on her behalf that the Lord would be mindful of her situation. Brother Peter Eve sends this in. My 2-year-old son is not speaking at all and has had several developmental delays. The doctors are saying that they think he might have autism and scheduled for further testing. Please pray that the Lord God will move on his behalf and bring my son up to where he is supposed to be. Thank you, and may God bless. So we certainly will remember that prayer request tonight for that child, that the Lord would just let it develop the way it should. And we know he's more than able to do that, don't we? Amen. Brother Gene Lehman called to request prayer for Sister Janet. She had a vein to burst in her leg and was treated at the hospital, then sent home. She is doing okay, but able to be in the service tonight. So we want to pray for Sister Janet that the Lord would just be with her and let her recover. Please remember Brother Bert Gravely in prayer, having a lot of pain after his knee surgery. I guess this was maybe yesterday or one day this week. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Bert, the Lord would be with him. Brother Baker has several unspoken prayer requests. We'll just commit those to the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Estep. She's having trouble with her knee, also having fluid removed from her body. So we want to remember her as we pray tonight that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Judy Dyer sends his testimony in. I want to praise the Lord for a good doctor's report. I thought that I might be facing surgery, but it was not necessary. Thanks to the many who prayed for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that today. Also, Brother Wade sends this in for Brother Jim Maxwell. He was admitted to the Bristol Hospital. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of Brother Jim. They're running a lot of tests on him, different things. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of his situation. And Sister Martha Ann sends in this testimony concerning Sister Jane Terrell. She is doing wonderful with her rehab. The doctors are amazed at how good she's doing. She wants to thank all of you for praying. Her desire to come back home and to be back in the house of the Lord. So we want to pray for Sister Jane Terrell that the Lord would just continue to be with her. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Mac's brother, John. He's in the hospital. Also pray for our friend Wallace Keene, who is suffering with prostate cancer. So we want to remember that need tonight. And Katie Larindu, pray for Mark Compton. He lives in West Virginia, is in the hospital. He is Katie Larindu's nephew. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of that need. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, you have needs you'd like for this church to pray about. You believe we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe He's bigger than all of our problems? I believe that with all of my heart, don't you? Brother Skip, come tonight if you would. Brother Skip Walker, let's stand. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's all just pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, for an opportunity to come before You tonight in church. And Lord, there's many requests, Lord. Seem like everybody's just being tested and tried. We realize that's part of it. And we pray that You'd give us great faith that we could rise above these things. We know that You're a healer, that You're an encourager of the ones that's down and out, and the ones that's home. My wife tonight not feeling well. We pray You just be with each one, Lord, that would want to be here. And Lord, most of all, may Your word be spoke to our hearts tonight in reality, Lord. There's a place we're coming to, Lord. I just feel it. I know it. I know each, but talking to others that they know it too, Lord. There's a place we're coming to. If we just be patient, Lord, and endure to the end, there's something coming, Lord. We're just looking forward to it. We believe it's coming right now. It's here. But, Lord, just help us. Give us faith, Lord. Be with each of these requests. Bless the speaker tonight, our brother, and help him, Lord God, that the word come forth and anoint our ears that we might hear and understand. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting in the service with us tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight, I Would Not Be Denied. It's an old song, but it's still our testimony, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. We're going to have church because some of you don't even know where you're at yet. I would not be denied. How about you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. When Jesus came and made me whole, would not be
Satan says, our Lord is gone, and he would not hear our prayer.
Why don't we just praise
but
the Lord?
We're going to praise the Lord.
Why don't you just praise the Lord?
I said, praise.
He's not here tonight, is he? All right, let's sing that song in his absence. Anybody ask where we're going? What's going on? Where are you at? What are you doing? We're here, one, getting ready to leave. That's all I can tell you. We're getting ready to get out of here. There's an Exodus on right now. We're making preparations for the other side. Are you making preparations tonight? Give me one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going someday soon. Anybody ask you, oh, where this bride's going, where I'm going someday soon. The heartaches that it brings, there's a comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. If God will give me grace to run this Christian race till I see my Savior. I see Him face to face.
So good tonight. God bless your heart. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got a couple of songs tonight. Brother Harvey, Sister Shirley, they're going to come give us a song. Sister Lindsay's here. She's going to give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. Give our singers a nice hand as they come to sing for you tonight.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world
shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, he's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, he's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, he's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he
comes. Seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe upon him, show the world that you alone can save. God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. Out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. come alive.
Amen. We can say amen to that, can't we?
Amen.
We have been raised from the dead. Thank God. God's given us life. We're so grateful for it. Let's turn to now, if you would. We'll look here in the book of Acts, chapter 25, verse 17. Who is enjoying the book of Acts?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You ought to. You're the continuation of it. Acts chapter 25, verse 17. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom when the accusers stood up, they brought none occasion of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Because I doubted of the manner of their questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved into the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, shalt thou hear him. Tomorrow, said he. But let me warn you, Agrippa, before you hear him, your life will never be the same. Agrippa was an important man, a man greatly thought of, a man greatly loved, one of the more honest kings of Israel during this time frame. But he was fixing to stand before a man that was well thought of in heaven. It's nice if you can be thought well of here on the earth, but for the most part, Christians aren't going to be thought well of by the world. But I'd rather be thought well of in heaven, wouldn't you? Loved in heaven. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight by His Word. Lord Jesus, how we love You, and we thank You for the opportunity, Father, that's been given to us, that we can gather together here, Lord, once again in the house of God. We pray, Lord, that You would take Your Word and speak to us, Father. We ask also, Lord, that You'd be mindful of our children and those that's having the Bible school over to Pavilion tonight. Pray that You bless them that's putting forth the effort to try to be a benefit and a blessing to our children. May that You bless them, Lord. And those that are streaming the service tonight, may the Word of God be a benefit to all of us, I pray. Lord, as we just heard the song that's been sang, Lord, how we thank You that the dead bones have come alive. We know, Lord, that it took the voice of a prophet of God to speak. And whenever he began to speak, then life entered in. And we know that's what's happened to us in this day. We are so thankful. Speak to us tonight, Father, from Your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus had already spoken now before Paul had actually been called to be a minister of the gospel, said that there would be his people would be brought before kings, before potentates, before all kinds of men of authority. Thus far, Peter had been before the Sanhedrin, James had been brought before Herod, but nobody had quite been placed in the position that Paul had been. It's amazing how that a scripture can have a compound meaning, that it would apply to many, many people, and some could be more isolated. And it's evident that in Paul's ministry that he's going to be given a greater portion of this scripture to be fulfilled. Now, you know, when you look at see what God God had allowed to happen in this life, in this time of this life. And Paul, 2 years he's been kept now by Felix without any just cause other than what Luke had written down, that he might do a pleasure to the Jews. Now it comes to where the Porcius Festus has taken Felix's place. Felix has been called to Rome. He left now Jerusalem. He's been led away in chains. What not for his brother, he would have been killed because of the injustices and corruption that he had done. So now Porcius Festus comes and he hears about Paul and he wants to make an impression naturally upon the Jews. He needed the Sanhedrin. He needed the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Sadducees, of the political clout of the Jews, what they say have a great impression upon the people. So if he can be able to gain their favor, it's going to be to his favor. So he wants to do what he can to make peace with them if possible. And you know, it's amazing that after 2 years, these people did not lose their hatred of this man of God called Paul. Now, Paul has been in jail. He's not been preaching any out on the street. He's had no public campaigns. The people have been able to go because the governor gave him free liberty in the sense that they could come and talk to him and see him. But publicly, he has been no threat whatsoever. And you would think, in one sense of the word, that their hatred would subside. You would think that their despising of the gospel that he was preaching would subside. But it's as if, though, as soon as this man's name is mentioned again, this hatred has not went away. You think of some of those that have left the message, some that left years ago, and some that have left 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you'd think they would kind of run out of their hatred and they would get over it. But it's amazing that some of them hate it now worse than they did when they first left. Now, we find their examples are also written in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it's a book that contains miracles, supernatural wonders, healings, signs. It contains the trouble that was in the church. It's a book which contains arrests of the saints of God. It contains deaths of the saints of God. It contains miracles happened in the lives of the saints. But it's not just a book of miracles. It is a book which contains much dilemma in the lives of the saints. It contains the supernatural power of God, but it also contains great hatred for those who love the Lord. I know it's not part of the book of Acts that we preach about much, and it's not a part that we like to talk about, but it is still a part of the book of Acts. Now, notice how that he brings this before King Agrippa. Now, remember, King Agrippa, I don't know how much you know about King Agrippa, but he was a man actually of quite some reputable character as far as it would have been a Jew of that day. He was quite religious in the sense of keeping the law. He was a little bit different than his grandfather and much different than his father. And he was a man that really was what they would classify as being a devout type of a Jew. He was a man that kept the law. He was a man as far as many aspects of the law, but yet he was a man very legalistic in certain parts of the law, but he was also a man living in incest with his sister. The scribes and Pharisees, which was so religious that many of them would sleep on a narrow plank at night, knowing they were going to fall off. But they did it on purpose, so when they fell off in the middle of the night, they'd pray. And then when they'd pray for a while, they'd get back up and climb back up on the plank, knowing they was going to fall off again. You say, why would they do that? They didn't have smartphones like you to wake them up. They didn't have alarm clocks. So they would sleep on a narrow plank, knowing, Brother Jim, they were going to fall off several times in the night. And they wanted to get up, you know, they wanted to get up in a methodical manner so that they could pray over and over again. So they would sleep on this narrow plank, and they knew without a shadow of a doubt that they were going to fall off. So when they'd fall off, then they'd get down and pray and pray and pray, and they'd get back up on the plank, and they'd go to sleep again, and inevitably they would fall off again, and they
they would do this night after night after night. And yet they would fabricate lies against the Lord Jesus. They would fabricate lies against the disciples. They would spread things that was not even true. They would not take back the money that they had paid Judas under false pretense, because it was blood money. So they could not do that, yet they would stand there and lie and twist the truth against the Lord Jesus. Can't you see how deceiving religious spirits can be? Now, can you imagine a person that is so sanctimonious and so legal that they sleep on a narrow plank knowing they're going to fall off how many ever times a night that you turn over on your side? I'd be more out than in, because I'm a side sleeper, so I sleep on the right side. Generally, I start there. After however long during the night, I go back to the left side. Then I go back to the right side. So I'd be more up praying than I would be sleeping if I had to sleep on a plank. Unless it's a 2x28. 2 inches thick, 28 inches wide. Now, if it's something like that, if it's a 1x6, forget it. I'll just stay up all night and pray. But they were so devout. Oh, they wanted to pray and they wanted to talk to God, but they thought nothing about lying. They thought nothing about fabricating stuff against the Lord Jesus or fabricating stuff against... Friend, why should we be surprised when the same spirit that moved on these people to do that is doing it today? That's why they will fabricate things on us, and they will twist things on the prophet of God, and you can prove that they are wrong and they still will not admit it. You can prove that even what they're supposedly projecting is facts, that it is no more than surmising, and they'll still do it. Why? They're under the same kind of a devil. Oh, aren't you glad tonight you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost instead of that kind of a thing? Now notice how that Porcius Festus, he's dealing with a man now that is a Jew himself. So he has to be very careful, because this is not a Jack Mormon, but this is a Jew, you know, that's pretty devout in many aspects of the Torah. So he says in verse 20, because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. Now remember, this man is a Roman and he don't know that much about the law. So he wants to be able to bring it before someone. Now consider his position. Paul by now has already appealed to go to Caesar. But yet Porcius Festus knows he doesn't even have enough hard evidence to send with this man, and it's going to make him look like he's an idiot. What am I going to say that this man has done? Everything I've heard, I call for Lysias to come. I call for this one to come. Everybody that I've talked to said that the guy, everyone that tried to present facts other than these religious liars, they ain't nobody got anything to say, yet he has appealed to Caesar. I'm obligated by Roman law to send him to Caesar, but what am I going to tell Caesar that he's done? Oh, praise God. What a testimony to have. So I asked him, will you go up to Jerusalem and be judged there? He said, no, I will not. I'm sitting before Caesar's judgment seat, and if you won't judge me right, then I appeal to Caesar. Now notice in verse 21, but Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus. Now notice this word, Augustus, to have cause to be heard, which was, of course, at this time was the Roman Emperor Nero. Now it's amazing, you know, how you look at these guys as they went on. The word Augustus, actually the Greek word, as you can look at there, Sebestos, which is the title of the Roman emperors, Augustine, taking its name from the emperor title of honor, which was given to certain legions or cohorts or battalions from valor. Now this was a name that was given. It had moved now to the Roman Empire, that some of the ones, the predecessors of these, would never allow themselves to be called Augustus or Lord. But it had now moved into the control of power to where that they wanted to be called that. As a matter of fact, Nero actually demanded that the Christians worship him as a god as well. So now you can see the direction that Satan was moving up through this power, because he was going to bring it up to the Colosseum. He's going to bring it up to where the Christians are going to be accused of burning Rome, even though Nero himself was the one who caused it to be. So they've already got to move up in the world power to where that world power is going to persecute the church. This is the book of Acts. You realize if it was not for the rapture, If it was not for the rapture, our lives would be taken from us in this day. We are hated right now. You know, all we got to do is not stand up and hate people. All we got to do is read quotes and project them on this screen. And if people out here hear about them, they call us racist. They call us everything in the world that you can imagine. Praise the Lord. And they call us things that's totally, totally, completely wrong. But can you convince them? You're wasting your time to even try. Why? Because the same spirit that was against the early church is alive and well today. But they cannot do us as they did them. Why? Because it's not our anointing. Our anointing is not an ox. It is not a calf. It is not a man. It is a flying eagle. We are not a roosting eagle. We are a flying eagle. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, notice, so this really gets Agrippa's attention. Now, Agrippa being a Jew, and of course, Agrippa being from Jerusalem, and him being much aware of what Herod, his father, had done to James. Remember, it was his father that had commanded James to be beheaded. And whenever he pleased the Jews, then Herod sends forth for Peter to be arrested, and the Lord delivered him. So he has somewhat of a background in dealing with Christianity. He says that I would like to hear the man. I would really like to hear the man. Then Agrippa said in Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow. And he said, thou shalt hear him. So he's a Jew. He understands a little bit about Judaism. He understands enough about the Nazarene sect to know a little bit about what they are. I said, maybe you can help me. I'm in a dilemma. I don't know what to do. This guy's appealed to Caesar, but I don't know what to say. I've got to send a report. But if I send this, he's going to have my head hung up on a block somewhere. Because there's not enough evidence to even do it. I don't know why the man appealed to Caesar. If he hadn't have done this, I could have let him go. I'll tell you why he appealed to Caesar. It's ordained of God. Now, theologians and people have argued this for years, and they look at Paul and say, Paul made a mistake. Paul never made no mistake. I believe it was ordained of God that he do so, and God would lead him right along the path that he needed to go. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I mean, he's very desirous. You know, he's open to see what's going on. What's this about? Well, he says, all right, fine. You'll hear him tomorrow. Now, no doubt, my eyes, oh, Agrippa, he prepares. And the Bible tells us that Luke writing this, now remember. The wish that he has is that he might be able to give an occasion to hear what's going on. And, of course, the Roman governor, Agrippa, actually has no authority over him in the sense of being able to punish him or sentence him to death. He really needs his help in understanding the religious charges that are against him. Amen. It's the same way today with people. Don't you understand why when people leave the word, they needed a religious anointing on top of them so they can accuse us. Now, most of the sinners and whatever more out here that know of our church and know of your family and know of us and we've been here forever and ever, they'd say, well, I don't know what they believe. They're kind of strange people and they're different, but they seem like to me they're good people. But who is it that makes the most ruckus, no matter where they are, where the message church is? It's always those religious people. It's those religious people. And who generally makes up the most ruckus? It's those who've been in it who've left. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now, watch this in verse 23. And on the morrow when Agrippa was come, and Bernice. Now remember, this is King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa. So he's the great-grandson of Herod the Great, the son of Herod Agrippa. And he also has a sister that we looked at that was married to Felix, whose name was Drusilla. So this is a big family type of a thing. Now, Bernice, of course, is also his sister. She's married to her uncle. Her uncle died. Now she's married to another man. He becomes circumcised in order to become accepted into the Mishnah. And now she left him, and now she's living with her brother as a husband. So here comes Agrippa and Bernice with great pomp. Now watch how Luke writes this. So on the morrow they come into the great hall. And they come in with all this great pomp. Notice how the Spirit of God points this out to Luke. Now remember, Luke was a man that was really an anointed man to be able to write the word. And he had a really good perspective, even though he was not there with the Lord Jesus. But he was able to travel around during these 2 years that Paul's in prison. So he goes around and he gets all these things. But even in this, looking at this, his perspective is so good. We don't know whether he was actually there in the court or if Paul related it to him later. But notice how the Spirit of God emphasizes this. With great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men. Notice how he emphasizes now who's there. So it's not the poor, it's not the paupers, it's the nobodies, it's people with great pomp. Now you imagine here, they bring them in, they've got their great robes and they've got their crowns and all the jewels and all the things that you can imagine, and they drag out this prisoner. We don't even know, not even sure if he was even allowed to change clothes, to come up out of the prison, being kept in the jail. Well, the man's clothes is nearly rotten off of him. If he had body odor, if he stank, we don't really know. Luke never felt to emphasize it. What he felt to emphasize was the arrogance of their vanity and their pomp. Praise the Lord. That's how God looks at pomp. Oh my. Now notice, so here he comes and his sister comes, and here's Porcius Festus, here's other people of great eminence in that great town. You know, it was in rich dress and regalia of all the things that they could put out their best. And my, they're going to come out there and hear this man, and we're going to really dress up and let him know what it is to really see some very, very important people. Now remember, this is in the very same city that his father had got so exalted in. This is the very same palace that his father had been in. Remember in Acts chapter 12 verse 21. And one upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up, oh my, the ghost. Now this is their daddy. And what did they learn out of that pride and arrogance? Nothing. Don't you see what you instill in your children? I can stand here and preach to them till I'm blue in the face. It's the way you live and what you say about what I preach is many times going to have more impact than all the quotes I quote. Now they're all at the pavilion. You parents can say amen. Praise the Lord. Now you would think if anybody would shy away from this, what happened to their memory? Friends, it's not like that the man had this bad case of TB and all of a sudden he got out there and he got all choked up, or he had some kind of lingering cancer. God even allowed his death to be so phenomenal that anybody would have to recognize and say, there's got to be some kind of supernatural something, Brother Bobby. This just don't happen. Worms don't just come and eat a man up right there in front of you. Can you imagine? He gets so elevated. I'll tell you, friend, it scares me for many preachers around this message that want to make themselves a god or make themselves some kind of angel before the people. There is a glory which belongs to God alone. It don't belong to no pastor. Oh, I'm going to say something. It don't belong to no prophet. It don't belong to nobody else. For those who want to make Brother Branham God, you understand what you're doing? You understand the very thing you're promoting? Look what God done to this man because of his arrogance and pride. Come on, don't get quiet on me. It's exactly the truth. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. The prophet of God says it several times. Even the flesh of the Lord Jesus could not glory in the presence of God. Oh, I know some of you Jesus onlys don't like that, but it's a truth anyhow. No flesh can glory in that. God had to bring his flesh in the way of humility and then raise up that flesh, then glorify it. Then it could glory. Same way with yours. Don't bring glory to your flesh now. Wait till after a while. You'll get your glory. Amen. We'll get glorified, but not now. Hallelujah. And the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Now the man must have been saying some things that was related to God. The angel of God smote him because he didn't give glory to God. Why would you give glory to God if he was talking about taxes and estate taxes and real estate and you give glory to God for that? He must have been saying something, Brother Darrell, about God or the kingdom of God or the prophet or the message somehow. And instead of the people were so moved, they said, oh my, this is not a man. This is not a man. It's the voice of a God or the voice of God. And instead of trying to say, no. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. He took that glory for himself, and the angel of the Lord smote him. And you're such his son and his daughter. And they walk in with all their pomp and all their regal actions. Lord Jesus, may we learn by our fathers' mistakes. Not only natural fathers, but spiritual fathers. How contemptuously the Holy Ghost spoke of this pomp, which Festus and Agrippa and Bernice was able to display. Actually, in the Greek, he calls it fancy. Fancy. I'm going to tell you something. When we get so fancy that we can't worship God, we get so fancy in our clothes that we can't get down on our knees and pray. Oh, I want to be prayed for. I've got a need in my body, but I'm afraid Brother Donnie will mess my hair up. Oh, you ain't fit to be prayed for. I'll tell you one thing. When we get so fancy, we've got to have just the very best to do this and that and that. Come on, children. God wants our very best. I agree. But our best, oh my, we're not the ones to select and say, you can do this and you can do that and you can do it because you're the best. When we do that, I'm out of here. Amen. I want us as the people of God, every one of us, to give him our best. Not that we compare to one another. Well, you're a better preacher than this one, and you're a better singer than that one. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what does God want? What does God want? Amen. If God puts his hand of approval upon it, so be it. If we're going to rule out people that did not have a great melodious voice, you can never listen to Brother Branham sing again. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying it because it's the truth. Amen. Brother Branham was not a great singer, but I believe God loved his singing. I enjoy hearing him myself. Now he's off key, and he probably wouldn't know one key from another, and he don't never line up with this and that. But you know what? You know where he's singing from? Not here. There. Right there. If you can hook her together, and you're talented, praise God, and you still rely on the Holy Ghost, do it, brother. Oh my, Lord Jesus, who are these folks coming to see? Generally, you dress up for important people. Now, if I'm around the house, I wear an old pair of blue jeans with an old button-up shirt. Some of y'all wouldn't even recognize me if you saw me. As a matter of fact, Carol has to come down to the basement every now and then and retrieve my jeans. Because after a week or so, to me, they're just getting broke in good. She says they stand up in the corner when I take them off. I just say they're just getting to feel good. Just getting broke in. But, you know, granted, if I knew you was coming around by for prayer, you needed something like that, I would honor you and I'd change. And most of you would do the same thing if you knew I was coming your way or somebody was coming. Well, I've been out in the garden. I've been doing this and that and other. You'd clean up and you'd want to. Well, now wonder who it is they're coming to see with all this pomp. They're all decked out. They're all dressed up to see who? The greatest man of God. Now, this is not the reason in their mind. This is not the reason, but this is who they've come to see. It seems incredible, all this pomp and ceremony and regalia for one holiness preacher. Glory to God. You imagine when the prophet of God went in and prayed for King George? Imagine all the great people that he was sent to, a Kentuckian now, feeling so backward and so bashful, cut the cuffs out of his trousers, and, you know, back out, don't turn your back on, and all that. He must have felt as a human. He must have felt so humbled by it, Brother Tom. But you imagine them people sitting there thinking, King so-and-so, and potentate so-and-so, and senator so-and-so, but they didn't have the pull in heaven that he had. If they did, they wouldn't be asking him to come and pray. So really, when it comes right down to it, who had more authority, King George or King William Branham? Same with you as the son or daughter of God. Amen. We're not presidents and vice presidents and senators and this and that and the other. I know one thing. If I was in the need of prayer, I wouldn't be calling our president because I ain't no confidence in his walk. I wouldn't be calling a bunch of them folks up there as politicians. I ain't got no confidence in the way they live. I'd be asking you. Amen. Why? Because I've seen when you pray what happened. Why? Because you have pull in heaven. You have pull in heaven. God hears your prayers and answers them.
Oh, glory to God. Truth and innocency shine more splendidly than pomp and man's honor and glory. Some of you people that have struggled most of your entire life with finances, struggle with all kinds of things, but you are the royalty of heaven. And one day when the rapture comes and you walk into them streets of gold, them angels of God which have guarded that throne for maybe millions of years will back out of your presence. And the prophet of God said that them angels will circle the earth with heads bowed as you're there in the presence of God. Hold my position till I get there, angels, because I'm coming. Think of it. Lord, who in the world am I? I agree, friends. We are nobody in this world. Will they fly the flag at half mast? Of course not. Will we ever be recognized as far as great important people? Absolutely not. Yet heaven, oh my, heaven listens when you pray. Heaven hears you in your deepest despair. When you're whimpering at night and you don't know what in the world's going on and you're going through a battle or trial and God will arrange a little special something for you. Why? Because you are right. Royalty where it really counts.
Watch how God is doing this. The more malicious the Jews were and the more lies they fabricated, the more innocent God made Paul's testimony proclaimed. Now, I want you to notice this. This is not the holiness. It's not the associate pastors. It's not the deacons and the trustees and all the people of Paul's church that keep saying that he's innocent. It's the governor, and it's Porcius Festus, and it's Lysias, the captain, and it's all these. Oh, I love it when God does it. I love it when God does it. Let me tell you something, friend. You may be accused. You may be lied on, but hold steady. Hold for truth. Sometimes truth is not always vindicated as quickly as we like. And sometimes God will let you go, and you'll be lied on and misunderstood. But don't you worry, truth will always be vindicated to be right. And the more they lied on, the greater the powers increased on it, the more innocence was declared in this man's life.
Notice, so they entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city. At Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. So here's all the great people now sitting in their place. Here he comes. Chains rattling on his feet. His hands bound. Places around his arms, you know, where they'd been. Maybe his beard growed out. Didn't smell very good. By now he had lost some weight. His color had changed somewhat. Hallelujah. But a man that had such favor in the eyes of God that the Lord Jesus come down and stood by him one night and said, Paul, first name basis. Praise God. Paul, don't fear. You're going to stand before me and witness for me in Rome. First name basis. He didn't have to send Mary down as a secretary and pray through Mary and then go through St. Christopher and then go through St. Andrew and go through. But Jesus himself stood right there. That's the relationship I want with Jesus Christ. I don't want the secretary. I want the main man.
I'll tell you one thing. The Catholics can go through the secretary if they want to. I don't want the secretary. She might be too slow. I want to be in such walk with God, Brother Tom, that I can talk to the main man himself. Don't you? Oh, my. This is the man that had such, oh, hallelujah, had such power in heaven. The Lord Jesus stands right by him.
But you imagine as he walks out and they look at him. The historians say that he was a very small man, 5'6", 5'7", something like that. 130 pounds, big crook in his nose, ugly, few hairs on his head. By this age now, he'd aged quite a bit. Not a very handsome looking fellow at all. And you're set the regalia of the kingdom. Imagine as they snicker. He's the head of this Nazarene sect. Can you imagine if this is the leader, what the rest of them look like? Oh, boy. Can't believe I have to waste my time. What do I get all dressed up for? Because God's going to make you answer, Agrippa. God's going to make you answer. You don't know it yet. But this man is going to preach with such power and persuasion that you're going to tell him, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. No doubt he had no plans whatsoever, Brother Darrell, of ever even going that way. Who knows if there was a smirk on his face or an attitude. Let me tell you something, friend. When men of God become anointed with the person of God, they are not themselves any longer. Oh, the human element is still there, yes, but they are more than just the human element. And God can move them over and be able to move and transpose them into a position. Oh, my, and this is exactly what happened before Felix. And Felix said, I'll call back for you in a convenient time. It's the same thing fixing to happen to Agrippa. Festus said, King Agrippa, when all men are here present with us, ye see this man? About whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. Now, Agrippa, I'm going to address you first because I need your help. Look at this man. They had seen criminals. They had seen leaders of the Sicarii, which was the assassins of that day. They had dealt with all kinds of people. They no doubt by just appearance was able to recognize, by body language, tell a lot about a man. And here he comes, one of the rulers in the millennium. His name is written in the foundation of the city. Oh, Lord God. Amen. He's going to sit on one of the thrones and judge. You see this, man? What would you have saw if you would have looked? Now we say, talking about Jesus, and that is so, looking unto Jesus, and what do you see? But let's not just look at Jesus alone. Let's look at Jesus' body. What did they see? No doubt a man, as they go into it, he said, much learning has made you mad. You're out of your nuts. You've lost your senses. You don't know where you are, man. And then they look at him and think, what in the world? What is this? So he wants to point him out and said, you see this man? I see him. I mean, I was expecting at least a handsome sort of a fella. A big guy. You didn't tell me he was a runt, ugly, stink. This?
He said, this guy has caused so much trouble that the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jews here, they're all saying this man can't even live.
When I found out that he'd committed
go ahead and testify, devil. Come on, devil. Testify.
Oh, I love it when we have testimony meetings. But I love it when God makes the devil get up and testify.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's one thing for you to get up and say, Brother Darrell prayed for me, hallelujah, and I was healed, and Brother so-and-so, and Brother David done this, and Brother Terry, blah, blah, blah. And God said, all right, demons, get up here and tell them, they're children of God. They're children of God. And God hears them when they pray. God said, tell it again. Say it again, devil. Say it again.
You imagine all these rich, famous, important people. And Paul stands here seemingly friendless. He has no attorney, no lawyer. There's seemingly no one there to represent him. But I did say seemingly. There was more in that room than you could have counted. Oh, friends, it may seem like when you're going through terrible times and you're so outnumbered, and the world may look at its pomp and look down its nose at you and I and think there ain't nothing to them. It may seem that we stand there friendless, but you are not. You have His words. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way to the end of the world. But when I found that He had committed nothing worthy of death, and that He Himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. I said, I found nothing with the man worthy of death. Nothing at all, but now he's appealed to Augustus. What am I supposed to do? The prisoner is still standing there, courteous, nice. He's forbidden by law now to speak until he's directed to. Imagine him standing, Lord Jesus, please help me, Father. I don't know exactly what to say to these people, but I pray, Lord God, give me the words to say, Lord, please, Lord Jesus, come as you did when I was standing before Felix. Help me, Lord God. Help me. Glory to God. He says, I heard Lysias. He said nothing. Even Felix, rotten as he was, he had nothing really he could say. Everywhere I've turned, this man's a good guy. But what I'm going to do, he's appealed to Caesar. Now, because he's appealed, I cannot reverse it. So mighty is truth and innocence that God is going to make them testify. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 26, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. I mean, it'd be awful to send him a blank sheet of paper. Lord God, children, if you could only look at it tonight, if you're in Christ Jesus, that's what your life says. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've got so many mistakes and shortcomings. That's what they are. Mistakes and shortcomings. Remember, God don't hear your voice. He hears the voice of the Lord Jesus. God don't see your blood. God don't see you. God looks at you through that blood. And in His sight, you are holy. In His sight, you are, oh, hallelujah, without spot. You imagine this great man said, look, I've got nothing to say. Nothing. With all of these witnesses, with all, but they're liars. Praise God. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. Glory to God. Some of you saints think you ain't never done nothing for God. You ain't cast out devils. Many of you have never led any souls to God as far as you say, I prayed for them. I led them to Christ. You've never done this and that. And you say, what have I ever done? Can you imagine how your life tears up hell? When hell is constantly looking for facts against you. Well, I say, but I make mistakes. Mistakes are not facts.
It is only a temporary setback of who you really are. Your mistakes, my mistakes, that's not who I am. I am not a mistake. I wasn't by my mom and daddy, and I sure wasn't by my heavenly father. I am not a mistake. I am a purpose.
Amen.
I am not here by mistake. I was not called to preach by mistake. I'm not called to believe this word by mistake. I am here on purpose. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, but Brother Donnie, don't you make mistakes? Sure I do, and I fix them whenever I make them. And you know what? That brings me closer to God. Hallelujah. So if the devil wants to come and bring it back, and he said, Lord, where's the evidence? And God said, Satan, your page is blank. I said, oh, no, what happened? Oh, my Bible was full a while ago. We need to check your evidence a little better, Satan. Oh, my, Porcius Festus said, I'm in a fix. They've accused this man of this and that and the other. I can't find a thing against it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but it does not say that God is the listener to those accusing. Hallelujah! He may accuse you, but it does not mean it gets into the ears of God. It has no value. Hallelujah!
I have no certain thing. Did he speak against the law, Caesar? No. Nope. What about taxes? Was he revolting against the taxes? No. Nope. He pays taxes. Man. Pays taxes. What about rebellion? Did he try to sedition or something? No. Nope. No proof. We got these liars over here saying all this stuff, but you can't trust them. Let me just help you to understand something. If God's got something to say, when God got ready to rebuke Israel in the Old Testament during the different church ages of their Old Testament church ages, God used the people of the highest character on the earth. God don't use trash bags and blabbermouths. If this message was hell oriented, if Brother Branham was a false prophet, and this message was leading every soul that believed it to hell, God would use the best people on the earth to reprove it. Not whoremongers, cigarette suckers, beer drinkers, short wine, sissified men, you panty waste. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. God would use the men of the highest caliber. That's why he's using men of the highest caliber to preach it, not rebuke it. Amen. Who did God use in the days of Jeremiah? God never used Zedekiah. God used Jeremiah. Why? Because Zedekiah was a false prophet and Jeremiah was a true prophet. Must have been some of them streaming again tonight. Verse 27, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Now I know you don't believe all the word, but you'd be better off to recognize this and just give up on this bride people. It seems unreasonable.
It seems unreasonable to send a man. You're going to take him right up there and you say, what do you do? And
that's all that I could find. Lord, have mercy, children. You give me one born again man or woman of God in this place tonight who will stream this service. Give me one that's born of the Spirit of God. It's really got the token in their soul. Show me one thing that emanates from their soul other than righteousness and a desire to serve God and a desire to please God. Oh, do they make mistakes in their flesh? Sure, they make mistakes in their flesh. I ain't talking about their flesh. I'm talking about their soul that's born of the Spirit of God. You'll battle with your flesh as long as you're here. You always will. Why? It's your enemy. The prophet said it's an animal. You can't trust it. You got to bring it subject. Hallelujah. Don't you see why you that are in Christ Jesus, God can take you in the rapture from this hellhole, and in a moment of time, you'll be in the presence of God. Lord, I've got to repent for this. I've got to repent. No, you won't. You will be ready. Around the world, the bride will reach that universal readiness. How long it'll be, I don't know. Amen. But all the members of the bride will reach that universal readiness. And our Lord Jesus will go in and come out and change his clothes and take off the high priest garment and put on the king garment. Hallelujah. And whenever he changes clothes, the angels will stand at attention because they know when he changes clothes, we're fixing to change bodies. Amen. When he changed clothes and came down to become a man, it was a sign I was fixing to change my nature. When he changes clothes there in heaven and he leaves at that place, it's a sign I'm fixing to change my body.
Hallelujah. So here are the greatest, noblest people of the city. Hold her a step. Before them walks out the ambassador of heaven. No doubt King Agrippa had spoke to ambassadors from Syria, from Damascus, from Egypt, from all different places. But here's the ambassador for God. Come on, saints. Do you understand? Every God called man, that's what he is. He's an ambassador from the kingdom of heaven. He's sent on your behalf. We are here tonight to make trade deals. I'm here tonight by the grace of God to help you trade out some things. I want to help you trade unbelief for faith. I want to help you trade fear for faith. I want to help you trade out sickness tonight for health. I want to, amen. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So is every God called man. I am here for trade and commerce. I am here, hallelujah, to be able to convince you that you are not just any people, but you are the people of God. You are a special people, a called people, a chosen people, and nothing can hinder you from going back to where you came from. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody interested in listening to what I got to say? Is anybody interested in trading some stuff tonight? So here stands an ambassador. I hope this don't bother you, but a king, a priest, here is King Paul. And priest Paul. Agrippa had on his attire and Paul had on his. But they was in two different realms. Agrippa's was in the flesh. Paul's was in the soul. He probably looked like a pauper. Probably smelled whatever more would have been embarrassed, even been identified with the man. But if we'd have been believers in that day, we'd have been praying for Brother Paul that day. We'd say, God bless our brothers. He stands there before the king. Oh God, give him words. Help him, Lord. He was an ambassador. You know how it is in our United States, sends an ambassador to Israel and whatever more. They have certain powers of our country. They have powers of war. They have powers of peace. And the president, who are more, tell them, do this and this and don't go that far, but do this and do that and the other. And they are there to represent us. Oh, children, can't you see why God called men? Oh, my. Can't you see why God needed men to be able to come down in here? They're not here
here to preach for your money. They're preaching in something about popularity and becoming a great reputation. We are your ambassadors. And Paul said, I beseech you therefore in Christ's stead. In Christ's stead. Amen. Brother Darrell, Brother David, Brother Terry, these other ministers, when they stand up, they're standing up as a representative of the kingdom of God. We're not here to rob you. We're not here to try to take things from you that's beneficial for you. I am here to take things from you, but it's things that you don't need or things that you should not have in your life. But I'll tell you one thing. If you give up them things, God will give you things that'll be much greater than the things you could give up.
Oh, my. Chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. So now Festus makes his speech. Paul stands there, courteous, mindful of his position. And Agrippa tells him, you're permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand. But this is common in this time frame. This is why you see the statues of the orators and of that day. And you see most of the time, most of them being right-handed. And they would stand with their garments, something like this. And then have their hand raised. So it was to signify, to get your attention, that they now have something to say. So you're permitted to speak. Oh my. How the providence of God. Now we're looking for miracles. Nobody's leaped for joy in this setting. No devils has been cast out that we've seen in this setting. No lame person has moved. No blind person. No deaf person. But you're fixing to see a miracle. But do we always recognize miracles? That's what I want to know. Do we always recognize the supernatural power of God? God has given this holiness preacher an audience that he would have never been able to get on his own. Who do you figure orchestrated this? Oh, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Donnie. It was Porcius Festus. He was no more than a puppet on the scene. Almighty God orchestrated this because God wanted these high uppity ups to hear the truth. They may never hear it again in their lifetime. The providence of God provided. You imagine he spoke in the dungeon to poor people. He spoke out in the meeting place to poor little people that could barely make it. But now God says, Paul, I'm going to give you an audience that's noble, filled with pomp. Speak my words. Now listen at the preacher. I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Have you ever thought yourself happy? You ought to think yourself happy to be in the house of God tonight. Well, you say, I don't feel like it. Well, you ain't thought about it enough. Keep on thinking. I think myself happy. King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. I esteem it a privilege and an honor to be able to speak for myself. I'm not on trial. Now notice, he's not on trial because Agrippa does not have any authority over him. Neither does Porcius Festus now. He's on appeal his case to Caesar. As far as authority, all they can do is transport him and get him there. So he's going to let the hammer fall. Y'all can't judge me now. So buckle up. Notice this. I thank myself, happy King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself. There's no judge. Festus, you're not my judge. Agrippa, you're not my judge. And Bernice, you sure ain't. And the rest of you businessmen around here that's laughing and making fun of me, you are not my judges, so I think myself happy to stand before you today because my destiny has already been determined. I've been placed here by the judgment of God. I find this a happy place for me to be in. You notice he didn't say they was going to be happy, but he said he was. I've been in some of them services when the preacher was the only happy one there.
And the other folks is happy when you say, let's all stand. And they start getting real happy. What a great advantage it was for the man of God. Now notice in verse 3 he said, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Now he's not flattering him. Remember now, as I told you earlier when we opened the service, Agrippa was well renowned and known among the Jews as being one that was real studious of the law, the Mishnah and the Torah. So he was very, very studious of the law. He would keep the festivals. He would do all these things. Actually help bring some restoration back to the worship and so on. So Paul said, I know you. I know thee to be expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Uh-oh, he's fixing to get long-winded now. Typical preacher. Oh, my. Bear with me now. He says, my manner of life from my youth. I imagine thinking, what in the world? He's given a life story. Now, I hope you understand this. He's going to merge two life stories into one sermon. His first life story and his new life story. Glory to God. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among my own nation. Oh, my. At Jerusalem, known all the Jews. Oh, he said, no, I'm not ashamed of it. Oh, I was raised up this way, I was that way. If you know anything about my background, Agrippa, you've heard of me. You know that I was this and that and the other. Which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now he said if they could tell the truth and would tell the truth, they'd be honest and say that I lived this way. Now that was under my first marriage. Glory to God. Oh no, we'll be here all night. Oh hallelujah, that was under my first marriage. Oh my. Amen. Hallelujah. I was the strictest of the Pharisees. I was raised this way. I've done this and that and that. Remember Agrippa's to the others. You imagine the Romans and they go there and say, what are they talking about? Pharisees, Sadducees, seeing the Mishnah, the Torah. What are they talking about? I don't understand nothing what they're talking about. But when Agrippa said, oh yes, I understand. Yeah, I understand. Okay, you was this, that, the other. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Uh-oh. Watch this master teacher now. Watch him tie Messiah, or the anointed one, right back into the promise of the fathers. And old Agrippa sitting there looking around at Bernice, and Bernice looking back at him. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Now his belief, of course, is the Messiah. Watch it now. He does not mention Jesus' name yet. But he's going to merge in the hope of the resurrection. Under which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. Watch now. He's veiling the messianic sermon message light of Jesus Christ, but he's putting bait on the hook thinking maybe this might be a predestinated seed. You never know. So he said, look, Agrippa, this is why that I'm here. I've been judged because of this messianic hope. It is a promise of God. Amen. Imagine by this state in the sermon, Agrippa's afraid to wiggle a finger, afraid it'll be considered an amen. He don't know what to do, so he's sitting very, very careful and very precautious. Now remember, Porcius Festus is going to ask him what he thinks about this sermon once it gets done. God's going to ask you what you think about this tonight when I get done. You see, all of us are going to give an account. Not just the preacher for preaching it, but every one of us for hearing it and the way we react. Now notice, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. So he represents, now notice this, you're talking about a brilliant man. He represents the Israelites as a worshiping assembly, the 12 tribes, how that they are serving God day and night. And he brings them almost to a level of the angels of God being there before the throne as the cherubims. And he goes on and looking this word, actually the Greek word is rendered instantly, how that it signifies a longing. This is what the 12 tribes have been longing for. They're longing for what I'm preaching, but they just don't know it.
That's what they're longing for. This is what they've been waiting on. And now they've thrown me in this, under this pretense and falsehood. Watch him now in verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible for you that God should raise the dead? Agrippa, why should it be so incredible? Porcius Festus, why? You rulers, imagine this. Oh, boy. Here we go on that resurrection stuff. I verily thought with myself. Now, watch immediately. He says, he gently excuses their unbelief by harmonizing his first marriage in with theirs. You see, I myself was at one time the same way under my first husband. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Amen. Jesus of Nazareth. You imagine they sent there, I was wondering how long it'd take him before he said it. I knew it. They can't even get up and preach nothing without saying, William Branham said this, and the prophet said that, and the prophet said something else. Can't they open their mouth and say something without saying, William Branham? Yeah? Huh? Okay. Yeah. Right. Fetch. Dog. Cat. Mule. Horse. That make any sense to you? But if I really want to make sense, I'm going to put the words together under the order of the evening light. That's about the way I used to preach in Pentecost, is about that jumbled up. Well, praise the Lord. So he said, I'm accused because of this, but look at where we are. And he said, by following this Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them.
Let me find a place here to close. Oh my goodness.
But now let's fact check Paul.
If we look in the four Gospels and we look in the book of Acts, there is no scriptural account that Paul actually did many. So I guess we need to make a YouTube video and start a website. www.goingtohell.com. That's what it'll be if you doubt this word.
Many of the saints I shut up in prison. And he says, I gave my voice against them.
Although he was not in the Sanhedrin, he was not in any official position as a councilman to say, you do this, you go there, you do this. So no wonder, Paul, we got a problem here with fact checking you. He goes on to say that he killed many. There's no facts for that either. I'm sorry, friends, that y'all just woke up in a new world today. I'm sorry that y'all didn't realize the Bible said that. The Bible is written this way. So if God sends a prophet that's going to bring light on this Bible, how you figure he's going to preach the same way? Matthew is a great, great, one of the great writers of the New Testament. You ever study Matthew's prophecies? We're going, after we get this done, Lord willing, we're going to take a study on prophecy. If you read Matthew's prophecy, Matthew will take a line from Jeremiah, and then he'll take a line from you know, maybe Zeta or some other book of the Bible, Haggai or Malachi, and he'll merge the two together and quote them, and you think Jeremiah said that until you go to looking for that scripture. And you realize that he took three words out of here and four words out of here and put it together, but he made it sound like one man said it at one time. Well, praise the Lord. Prophecy ain't nothing at all the way you get in your mind that it is. Now, here Paul is giving us an account. Now, what's amazing when you take this account, and we'll look at it, Lord willing, next week we'll pick it up again. When you give this account and compare it to the other accounts that he gave of his testimony, Here's a spot that he left this out, and he added this spot here, but didn't tell it over here. Oh, my goodness. We've got a bad case of humanity, sure as the world. We've got another human being that doesn't have perfect recall. Oh. Can you believe that? Praise the Lord. The book of Acts. The continuation of it. As it was opposed then, it's being opposed tonight. As they were lied on, we're being lied on tonight. They were misrepresented, we're going to be misrepresented. But praise be to God. As long as the same Holy Ghost is in us that was in them, so be it, Lord. So be it. I'm willing to bear the reproach for the word, aren't you? Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, I so thank you, Father, that you anointed Luke. Lord, the historians say when Paul was shut up there 2 years in prison and wasn't able to go out and preach and hold meetings, that Luke was going around all through Jerusalem and Judea, also the different parts of the country there, gathering their stories together to write the book of Acts and the book of Luke. Then the historians say whenever he'd come back off of these trips with all these things that he'd heard about Jesus and about the apostles and things that was going on, him and Paul would sit down together and they'd go to writing it, putting it together to make the Bible. We so thank you, Father. We believe you watched over that word. Lord Jesus, it doesn't bother us that Paul said in one place that they heard the voice. In another place, he said they didn't. It doesn't bother us at all the things that the agnostics and the infidels pick out and try to find fault with. It doesn't bother us, Lord, that scientists will say that you're foolish if you believe in creationism. Anybody that could believe all this started out with a big glob out of one cell out of the ocean, they're not going to tell me I'm crazy. To believe that I come from a monkey and that animals and plants evolved to the certain state where they could do these certain things on their own, no. They're not going to convince me I'm nuts. And I can look here in your word and see what you said about it, Lord. This is not a theory. Evolution is a theory. Creationism is an act of God. Hallelujah. And one reason that we know it's real is because the Creator carried on the same act of creation in us. And if evolution is right, why isn't still it ongoing? Then if we're getting smarter and smarter, why aren't the plants evolving? Why isn't man evolving? We've got more sickness and disease than we've ever had. Then we should see the need to evolve into such a state that cancer won't bother us anymore. Our need to survive should pull us to where we can evolve to a spot that we are beyond a lot of these things. But we know, Lord, that's nonsense. But Lord Jesus, you demand faith. Faith. That we trust you and believe your word, whether we understand it or not. According to the book of Acts, there's only one death that was recorded that Paul actually stood and was in charge of. That was the death of Stephen. Yet here he says, there was many. So we're not going to fall out with Paul and say, well, I can't follow Paul no more. We just simply believe that he said there was many. If he said there was many, there was many. Then you had a reason for having Stephen's death being recorded and mentioned, and others you did not. There's always a simple explanation to it, Lord. But we're so grateful that we don't have to have the explanation because we have faith. The explanation's nice when you give it to us, but Lord, we believe you whether we can explain it or not. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Lord, these things comfort us and help us in our trials and our challenges, Lord, when we're so misunderstood, when we're so lied on and so fought against, Lord, by so many. Lord, it's the book of Acts. We have healings among us. We've seen you do so many wonderful things in our midst. Miracles, God. Healings and signs and wonders. But Lord, if that's all that happened to us and we were never persecuted, I'd really be worried. Because the real church is a persecuted, stood against group of people. So I thank you, Father, that it's not just the miracles of the book of Acts that's in our church. But it's the persecution, the hatred, the despising, the destruction that people would love to do to us if they could. But you won't let them, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you tonight, Lord. May this book of Acts, church, continue on until eventually somebody will say amen to the book of Acts. Luke, no doubt by divine inspiration, never wrote the end of it the way Paul did in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philemon, Titus, Romans, Galatians, Philippians. Luke leaves it wide open. But no doubt the amen will come. Praise God. And when it does, this book of Acts, church, will resurrect with the already resurrected book of Acts, church, that lived down through the ages. Praise God. Then the two wave loaves, glory to God, will be raised from the earth and will gather in your presence, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. I may like to be remembered tonight from the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Be mindful of us, Lord, when that great day comes. May there not be a one of us missing, Lord Jesus. Praise God. May the amen be so written in our lives that we can say we are the closing of the book. Praise God. We are the closing of that book. This is the end of the Gentile church ages. There'll be no more dealing with the Gentiles. And the book will be closed. Praise God. Grant it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Don't you love him, children, with all your heart? Amen. I'm going to let you go. I know you got to pick your kids up here around 9. Ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Carol's going to have surgery in the morning, scheduled for surgery at 8:30 in the morning. We've got to be there at about 6:30, so we just desire your prayers. We believe the Lord's our healer. We're grateful for surgeons and things that they can do. When she fell, she broke this top bone right here, fell on her wrist, and it broke it that way. So they're going to put a plate in there and some screws. We just believe God for his mercy. He'll guide the surgeon's hands. No doubt they'll have qualified people, anesthesiologists, people that'll hand them tools and this and that and other. But I'm looking for some more beings to be in that room. The angels of God. We certainly desire your prayers. The Lord just be with her. Heavenly Fathers, my little queen stands here tonight, Lord. And dear God, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'd just be mindful of her, Lord. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've been with her during this time. Lord, and you've helped her as far as the pain and all that. We're just believing you tomorrow, Father, that when they do this repair, Lord, that it'll go well. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only will the surgeon be there, Lord, and all the people that will help him, but Lord God, we're asking for another presence to be in that room, Lord, tomorrow. Lord Jesus, may you be with her. May you help her, Father. The doctor will set it and put the plate and the screws and whatever more, but he can't heal her, Lord. It'll take you to heal her.
I pray the Spirit of God would be with her, Lord. May there be no evil that will come of this, Father. Lord, may it not stiffness and arthritis and whatever more that people say. We're not signing for any of those things. We're signing for healing, Lord, and deliverance. May the Spirit of God be with her, I pray, Lord. Touch her, Lord. Give her a quick recovery, Lord God, I ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, you see this request, Lord. With the various dollar, dear God, with this kidney stone and stuff, Lord, it won't move. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God move on the Lord. I've had these things myself, and I know, Lord, something similar to maybe what she's going through. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that stone. Hallelujah. Doctors have developed a machine that can be able to break it up. But if a doctor can do that, what about the power of your word? Lord God, we join our faith together tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God move forward, Lord. May she pass it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I felt the healer come by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, what happened was, he was the preacher just a few minutes ago, but he changed administrations. Come on, it's the same one. Hallelujah. But now it's the healer. If you'll be like that little colored girl was down in Arkansas, you can leave here tonight with your healing. If you get me to the healer, I'll find my daddy. Hallelujah. 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 The healer ain't Brother Branham. It ain't Brother Don. It ain't no preacher. It's Jesus. You believe you can still get to the healer? Glory to God.
Hallelujah. All things are possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else need the healer to pass by your way? You don't even have to come up here. You can stand right there and let your face touch him. Pull him right to where you are, right there tonight. Healing in your body, healing in your marriage, in your home, your children, whatever it is. Me and Carol was driving down the road the other day after she'd broke her arm. Was coming down, listening to a tape. Brother Branham was talking about that colored woman. He said, you think of that poor, insignificant woman. And he said, her faith held that airplane on the ground. She didn't know Brother Branham. Never even heard of him before. But she knew Jesus. Brother Branham said, Auntie, I pray for the sick. My name is Branham. You ever hear me? He said, no, Parson, I don't believe I ever heard of you. He said, I reached over and put my arm on her back, and there that dew was on her back. He said, we went in the room there and said, Auntie, why don't you pray first? And he said, friend, I knew when she started talking to him, she had talked to him before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. She said, Lord, I said, I can't shoot him at woman, but where's your Elijah? Oh, Lord God. She didn't even know the Elijah anointing was on the earth. Can you imagine? God sent her literally Elijah. Praise be to God. I want to tell you something. Elijah is here tonight, but Jesus is. Whatever your need is, Jesus is here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my, don't you love him, saints? Isn't it amazing how he can take a service and change it around? You sensed that a while ago, didn't you? How he just changed that around. Oh, what a mighty God he is. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you need to go and pick up your children. Feel free to do so. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. God bless you, saints. Amen. Ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord Jesus. God bless you. Services this weekend. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us. Lord, will I be with you for the next few weeks before we make the trip to Russia? So we're just looking for a great time in the Lord. Amen. Hey, can you sing, "The Great Physician Now Is Near," the sympathizing Jesus? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I still feel His presence here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
The great.
Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name, Jesus.
Is near the sympathizing.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
He speaks.
Amen.
The drooping heart to cheer.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus. The drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in
blessed Jesus, I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased yes, my
praise your name,
salvation.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God, we worship your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it together as we go. Praise God. Oh, I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me.
By your stripes,
yeah.
Protect them from the evilness of this age, we pray. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We give you these things, Lord. We ask you for big things because you're a big God.
Yes,
Lord, we believe you're able to do it, Lord, tonight.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Go with the children, Lord, we pray. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. Oh, I mean, it feels good tonight.
Glory.
Isn't it wonderful when he just passes by like that?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. May God richly bless you. Be a friend.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are. You're my
you supply.